Well, good morning, Calvary. My name is Jay Ewing. I'm pastor of Community Life here on the Erie campus, and I have the great honor to introducing to you my brother, my friend, my co-laborer in the gospel, Waterson John Baptiste, affectionately known as Wawa. Wawa, it's so good to have you. And my French is terrible. Wawa is the president of Steps Seminary of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Wawa received a bachelor's of theology in Step in 1997 and a master's of theology from Dallas Theological Seminary in 2002. Afterwards, he returned to be full-time staff at Step Seminary. The mission of Step is to prepare maturing Haitian leaders to make disciples of Christ to transform their communities for the glory of God. This rich mission began in 1942. Now I can tell you how STEP, in the midst of a country in complete crisis, is seeing an all-time high of students enrolling and being trained and graduating. I could tell you how STEP is one of the few remaining seminaries open in Haiti due to the violence. I could tell you that STEP is raising up the next generation of leaders who will transform their country with the gospel. But I want to tell you, Wawa and Step share the same DNA of Calvary: make disciples, empowering leaders, and multiplying the church. I want to tell you, Wawa loves barbecue when he is in the States. We did have Georgia boys this week. I want to tell you that Wawa loves the global church, the local church, and the seminary. I want to tell you that Wawa loves his two highly intelligent daughters, who both are attending the University of Oklahoma. One just graduated and will step into a master's program this fall. One is finishing up soon. He loves his wife, Josette, who is actually in Haiti this Sunday at a youth camp serving. But the greatest love that Wawa has is for Jesus Christ. Please help me welcome my friend and yours to be soon, Wawa.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so grateful for Wawa's trip here. Thank you for the provision for him to arrive here in the States safely, for him and his colleagues to have a wonderful week, thanks to this church's generosity to sharpen themselves, sharpen each other, and to sharpen the vision for the next season as STEP. Lord, that you this morning, as we open your word, as we investigate your words to your servant Isaiah, may we be receptive to the message you have for them and to us. And Lord, that your servant Wawa would speak with great clarity and boldness in the gospel and encourage our hearts. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor Jay. Good morning. I am so happy to be here this morning and to see all your faces coming here to worship the Lord together with us. I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Calvary, for welcoming Step Seminary here this week. We had our board meeting because the place prepared for us was so nice and cozy. The food, the barbecue, and everything was so good. We were able to think and to make decisions for the next academic year for Step Seminary, and it was great. We thank God for you, and thank you for the partnership you have been developing with Step Seminary. We appreciate it. Your prayers have gone a long way for us, especially as we go through a very difficult situation these days. If you are not connected to Step Seminary, you have the opportunity to do that when you leave here. There are people out there with some connection cards that you can get to just give us your email address at least, so you can remain connected. We will let you know what STEP is doing, how things are, so you know better how to pray for us. We appreciate the previous prayers, but we still need more prayers and more intelligent ones. So get connected, and we will let you know so we can work that out together. I've got to preach. I want to begin my message with a story that is a sad one, unfortunately. In times past, there was an S-4 submarine that was rammed by a ship, another ship, on the coast of Massachusetts. And quickly, the submarine began to sink. And other ships came very quickly to the area where it happened. And there were divers who decided to dive to figure out what was happening and whether they could save anybody. It's a submarine sinking. So people there, you can imagine the distress that was in that submarine sinking, the distress of the crew in there, in trouble, not being able to be released from the situation. They were trapped. One diver down there put his helmet on the side of the submarine and was listening whether there was any noise in there, anybody there. And he heard dots and dashes of a question that was coming out. That person was using the Morse code to ask the question. The dots and the dashes formulated that question: is there any hope? You can imagine the distress of the people in there. Is there any hope? That's a cry of people who are in trouble, in deep trouble, and seeing their lives on the verge of being wasted. And maybe those people, I don't know the rest of the story, but it looks like their lives were wasted in there. Haiti is in a situation that is almost like this. We are not in a submarine, but it's as if we were. Haiti has been plagued by gang violence for many months now. In fact, the last election we had in Haiti was in 2017. In 2021, our president was assassinated, and the gangs took over the situation, and they have taken over the situation since. They do whatever they please. They kill people all over the place. Reports are coming out with big numbers of lives being wasted by firearms, by machetes, young girls being raped, hundreds of young girls being raped in a country like that. Prisons are attacked by the gangs. They release all the prisoners. Everything is in chaos. We don't have a functioning government. There is no House, no Senate, no elected official in Haiti at all, not even one. So you can imagine a country like that in chaos where people are doing whatever they want. It's like in the book of Judges. And Haitians are asking, is there any hope? Same question that those distressed crew in the submarine was asking. Haitians are asking because our ship is sinking. Even though you are not in Haiti, you are not Haitian in that ship that I just described, life is hard for you also, because life is hard down here on earth. Here in Colorado, it's better than it is in Haiti economically. You have a functioning government. You have peace. You can travel back and forth, which we don't have the luxury to do right now. But life is hard, because people deal with diseases. People deal with marriages falling apart. People deal with choices their children are making that are not the right choices and they cannot talk to them. People deal with bad news coming at them from places where their kids are going to school on campuses, shootings happening, and you need to figure out how to address these issues. So life is hard also here. And if you have something going on and the doctors cannot figure out what it is, and you feel like your days are counted, you ask questions like the ones Haitians are asking, that the crew in the submarine was asking. Is there any hope? Well, I am here to tell you that there is. There is hope because there is a God whom we serve, who sits on his throne. And this God, he speaks, he communicates, he has everything that it takes to address our needs, to care for us, to come alongside us, to show up and to change situation for us if we trust him, if we agree to walk with him and depend on him. And this is what keeps us going back in Haiti. Even though we are in the middle of this chaos in Haiti, we have everything falling apart around us, and at times we feel the gangs are closing in on us. Because you hear the next area, before they get to where you are, they have taken it over. They have killed people. You hear the gunshots. You feel like you're frozen. But when you remember God sitting on his throne, it helps you. So it helps you. So this is what keeps us going, and Step Seminary continues to strive. We have a lot of students that are coming to us still, and we position ourselves to embrace them, to train them, to disciple them, and graduate them so they return to their churches and their communities to serve. We just graduated 50 in the bachelor program and 15 in the master's program. So God is still at work. But would you like to know the secret? The secret is found in Isaiah chapter 41. Turn in Isaiah chapter 41, and we're going to look at verse 10. Just verse 10, because in that verse there are four reasons God has given for all of us walking with him to not lose hope, but to keep our eyes on him and to succeed, to have victory no matter the situation. I'm going to begin to read in verse 8, but our message is based on verse 10. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Now verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. These are promises of God that he made directly to the people of Israel. At the time when he spoke, his people was going through deep trials. They were experiencing great difficulties and distress, and Isaiah was used by God to give this word to the people of Israel so they would not fear, so they would continue to keep their eyes on God and continue to move forward successfully. Now, there are things that we are in, and we think, is there a word for us? Yes, there is, because the same God who spoke through Isaiah to the people of Israel then is the one who still is on his throne, and is the one we are walking with when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. We become children of this God. And he is telling us the exact same things today, when we are going through trials and distress in our lives. Whatever it is we are going through, God is telling us, don't fear. Now, When God says don't fear, there is something that is normal, that is natural to happen. When you have gangs closing in on you, when there is a shooting in the school and you don't know where the shooter is, and you don't know what kind of weapon that person is carrying, is using, and you just hear the noises, you don't know whether you're going to come out of it or not. The natural thing is for us to fear, right? You fear for your life. But he's saying, don't fear. It doesn't make sense. He knows that it was not going to make sense for you and I if he said just that. But he gives us four reasons in the passage for us to not fear no matter the situation. And the first one, it's very obvious as you begin in verse 10. He says, fear not, for I am with you. So the presence of God, brothers and sisters, is reassuring. Because God is with me, I am not alone. And if I am not alone in this situation, and the person who is with me is not just somebody who is limited like I am, but it's God, I have someone with me upon whom I can count. And wherever you are, because God is omnipresent, if you are on the hospital bed, he is there. You are at home, he is there. Somebody can be in a prison cell, he is there. You are on a ship on the ocean, he is there. And as we sit here, he is right here with us because we serve a God who is omnipresent, meaning that he is everywhere. Everywhere you find yourself, you are not alone. The author of Psalm 23 says in verse 4, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. It's just because of God's presence. He is there. And if we believe that God is with us, present where we are, we have something that can reassure us in any situation we find ourselves. If I say I am with you, you should laugh. Because I'm worth not much. If Pastor Jay says he is with you, maybe a little bit more. But still, he is as limited as I am, as a human being. And at times we can say we are with you, you can count on us, and we even forget that we made that promise. But God, when he says, I am with you, you are not going to turn around and not see him there. If you need to trust that he is there, and he is right there with you. You never alone, because you are walking with a God who is omnipresent and faithful to his word. The second thing that we have in the passage to help us keep going in the midst of situations that are very hard, says, be not dismayed, for I am your God. This is an amazing thing. Intimacy with God is very uplifting. Intimacy with God really satisfies us. It's like we have everything we need because we have God. If you have me, you have nothing. But you have God, who is the one who created all things, the one who has enough power to address any need that you may have, the one who only spoke and everything came into being, the one who took time to create us and created us amazingly like that. This God, he says he is our God. We have instances in the Old Testament where he presents himself as the God of Abraham, which is true because he is a personal God who has a relationship with individuals. If you had already trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says that you become a child of God. We all become children of God when we trust Christ as Savior. Acknowledging the fact that we have sinned against God and we can't fix it, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and paid the debt for us so we can be reconciled with God, If we trust him for that, that he died in our place to pay our debts, we believe we are saved. And the word says in John 1:12 that we become children of God by trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior. So he is our personal God. The same way he was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, he is Wawa's God, because I have a relationship with him that is personal. You have a relationship with him that is personal also when you believe in Jesus as Savior. So you have a God with whom you can be very intimate. You can read his letters every day. You can contemplate his letters every day in the Word to hear him speaking to you, to help you understand who he is, who is your God, and you can count on this promise also. I am with you. I am your God. Now, even though God is with you and he is your God, you may be walking in the valley of the shadow of death and you are still in that valley. But he promises that depending on his will, he will come to your rescue. Here is what he says in the word. He says, I will strengthen you in the middle of verse 10. I will strengthen you, I will help you. In the NIV, it says, I will come to your rescue. There are people who can make promises to you to say, okay, you can count on me. And then when you look for them, they are nowhere to be found. Or you can count on me. And then they are the first ones to fall. Or somebody says, you can count on me. And then the next news you hear, that person had a heart attack and is already gone. You are still here struggling. That person you are counting on is gone. God says, I will come to your rescue. You serve a God who is eternal. He's not going to pass. He was there. He is there. He will always be there. This God is all powerful also. When he says he will come to your rescue, not only will he keep his promises to show up and to intervene and to help in the needs that you have to be addressed, he has the strength and the power to address it and change it also. God spoke to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, telling him that he had seen the misery of his people in Egypt when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt for those 400 years. When the time came, God went down to Egypt to deliver them. This God who delivered his people from Egypt after having Pharaoh experience 10 plagues, and you know the story, how bad it was for Pharaoh until he agreed to let God's people go. And when he did, God had one more thing for him. There was the Red Sea, and God wanted to finish the job at the Red Sea. And he drew them there so that his people could cross. God has the power to part even the ocean. And he did for his people to pass, to cross. And then when Pharaoh's army thought it was something that they could enjoy also, as if they were God's children like us, they walked in, and you know the story. The water closed in upon them, and they all disappeared. This is the God you and I serve. He says he will come to our rescue, and he will. When the time comes for him to show up, he will, and he has all the power necessary to take care of us. You turn to Acts chapter 12. Peter was in prison, and he was watched by many soldiers so he would not flee. Peter was sleeping like crazy in the midst of those people. God sent his angel, because the church was praying. God showed up. He sent his angel to come and release Peter from prison. Peter was amazed to see that happen. And the people at the church, when he showed up, were amazed. They couldn't believe. But God is not limited. He is all powerful. Whatever it is you are going through right now, it is something that is very small for God. It is something that is very small. If you trust him and you give it to him according to his will, he will intervene. And at least he will give you peace of mind if you trust him, knowing that you are not in this situation alone, and your God is with you. He says that he will come to your rescue. Trust him for those things, and you will experience a reality that is different from what it would be if you didn't trust God. We continue to move forward in Haiti because we keep our eyes on this God I am talking about, who has presented himself here in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, to say that he is concerned about our situations, and he is not only concerned, but he is going to move. As a bonus, if you have a difficulty and somebody comes to your rescue and you are rescued, now you're free to just go your way and enjoy the time. But God says he's going to even do more because he's a gracious God. He always gives us more than we would expect, than we would imagine. That's what he does here. In the passage, he says, not only will I rescue you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is the fourth thing. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So he is going to continue to be there. After you rescued, you delivered from your situation, he's going to continue to walk with you, keeping you, so you can have success after that also in your life. He's going to place you somewhere that you would never imagine. He says, my righteous right hand. And in the Hebrew culture, the right hand of God is the place of favor. The right hand of God is the place of strength. The right hand of God is the place of blessing. And when God says that he is going to keep people at his righteous right hand, with his righteous right hand, it means that you are going to be on the right side of God, at the place of favor, at the place of blessing, at the place of strength, so you will continue to be victorious in your walk with God. And this, it's amazing for us to be walking with a God like that. You and I don't deserve it. I don't know whether you think you do, but I know that I don't deserve it. But God is so good. He is so good. He is always with us. He is our God with whom we can be intimate. He's a God who comes to the rescue of those who trust him. And he is a God who keeps his children with his righteous right hand. So, brothers and sisters, this week, think about these. And if you do, no matter what is going on in your life or in the life of somebody you know that is close to you, introduce this God to that person. Three things that I would love for you to do. Instead of focusing on your problems this week, focus on God and pray to give him that trouble, that situation that you are going through, that you know about. Pray to give it to him. The second thing that I want you to do is to take your Bible, and during the week, meditate on Isaiah 41, especially verse 10, to see again for yourself those four things that God has talked about here that are all for us if we just put our hands in his and let him walk with us. He's going to be there for us. Meditate on those and write down what it means to you personally. And the third thing that you need to do is to look around and find somebody who is struggling and introduce God to him or to her. This way, with that passage that you have taken time to meditate, and help the person to see hope also in the word. Now, the question was, is there any hope? I think you can with me say, yes, there is. Because we have a God who is on his throne, who is concerned, he is with us. He is our personal God. He is coming to our rescue, and he's going to keep us with his righteous right hand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, your love, and your faithfulness toward us. Thank you, Father, for the fact that we can count on your presence. You are there with us. We thank you for that. Thank you for moving every resource that you have to come to our rescue, to save us, to deliver us from whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Thank you for doing us for us in Haiti, to keep us going, even in the midst of all the situations that are going on. You are always with us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your promise to keep us with your righteous right hand. Help us to remember those things. Help us, Father, so that those truths of your word can motivate us in order for us to keep going and move forward for your glory and to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.